This week, Tzava, Zachar, Purim, I'll try to put it all together. So this week's parsha, Parsha Tzava, as opposed to last year, which dealt with the Binyan HaMishkan, building the Mishkan, this week's parsha deals with the Big Day Kahuna. And obviously, within the Big Day Kahuna are a lot of deep mysteries and secrets, which we're not going to get into today, but just the concept of Big Day Kahuna. Torah tells us, Peruch HaVches Pasuk Beis, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Aro, to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vasisa Big Day Kodesh La'aron Achicha. You should make Big Day Kodesh for Aaron, your brother, L'chavon L'sibaris. As for honor, Tiberos will say is beauty. To people should be glorified, to people should look at him, and they should be glorified by the Big Day Kahuna. And we have to understand, because you know, in terms of L'chavon being honor, we understand a person goes ahead and a person wears special begadim. So the kavod, it's an honor, he's honored. People look at him that he's special. But what's the idea of Latiferis? It should be for beauty. What's the idea of beauty? The Torah, on a certain level, we know, probably frowns upon beauty. And the fact is that we shouldn't go ahead and look at somebody and say, wow, he's wearing beautiful clothes, he looks beautiful. We know we have to look at the soul, the neshama, personality of the person. There's a Gemara in Maseches Tainis that you know, that Rabbi Yeshua, one of the great Tana of Yeshua, was known as a very great rabbi. But I guess he didn't have the most handsome appearance. I'm not exactly sure what that means. And the daughter of Rabbi Yeshua, of the season of Yeshua Bechananya, like, oh, how could it be that such a wise man is in the clean of food, is in an ugly vessel? And it could be it's more symbolic, talking about the Jews. The Jews at that time did not look the best. They didn't look the proudest. They were bent down. They were not the most glorious at that time. So he says, so Yeshua answered and said, listen, he said, I have a question to ask you. Where does your father put the wine? In which vessel does he put the wine? He says he puts the wine in vessels made out of pottery, klicheres. So he says, I don't understand. Why doesn't he put the wine in vessels that are made out of gold and silver? He says, right, it's a good idea. So she went ahead and she put all the father's wine. And you know, actually, Mara tells us, told the father, you know, Dad, why don't you put the wine in gold and silver vessels? He did it. What happened to the wine? The wine got spoiled. See, after the wine got spoiled, they told the king, all your wine is spoiled. It was in the wrong vessels, golden vessels, silver vessels. So he said, he went ahead and told them, well, Yeshua told me. The whole idea of the story is that the Jewish people, we look to see who's special. We don't see how they look. We don't try to appreciate a person by his appearance. We look at what's in the person, what the person is. So when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, who is the most probably for generations would be considered one of the most respected Jews, the leader of the Jews, why did he need the clothes? L'chavon L'sibaris, look beautiful. What do you need clothes for? Obviously everyone needs clothes. Why doesn't he need clothes? Why? I'll tell you something even more startling. There's the most of Rashi. Some chumashim have in addition to Rashi. In addition to Rashi points out that the Pasuk says, Asivi de Kodesh la'aron achicha, for Aaron your brother. You know, during the Shiva Shimei Meluim, when Aaron and his sons were appointed or inaugurated to be Kohanim, Moshe was the Kohen Gadol. And Rashi points out that even though Moshe was the Kohen Gadol, he didn't wear the begadim of Aaron. He didn't wear the Big Day Kahuna Gadolah. And it's emphasized in this Pasuk. Vasisa Big Day Kodesh la'aron. It's a gun for Aaron, your brother, not for you. You won't weave when you are the Kohen Gadol of those days. You will not wear the Big Day Kahuna Gadolah. And it's a Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Aleph. The Gemara asks, what did Moshe wear during those 7 days? And the Gemara says, no, white clothes which didn't have anything, any hems where you could stick money, you could stick anything valuable into. But Dafka, Moshe couldn't wear these clothes, only Aaron. So to try to understand what's the idea of the clothes being beautiful, why was it so important? Why was it so important? So if you want to tell me L'chavod, everyone should know he was the Kohen Gadol, I understand. But why L'tiferes? Why for beauty? We frown upon beauty. So in order to understand this, I think it's important to take notice of something my father wrote in Zagdama to his Sefer, his book, on Hashkafa, Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. And, you know, my father pointed out, based on a Medrash, that, you know, our point in life is to grow, come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And everyone has a different approach to life. You know, they're chassidim, they're misnagdim. But everyone has their approach, their way that they can come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, the Maral of Prague says, you know, on the Mishnah, that Periyavos, the Maral of Prague points out that when the Mishnah says, beginning at Perek Beis, quoting Rebbe, what derech in life should a person take? Tiferes Lo, Tiferes Min Adam, what's glorious for him, for people? There are people who, he says, there are people who come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through davening, through learning, through chesed. You have to really know, everyone has to choose what works for him and what works for everyone else. But everyone has different derechim in life, how to come close to God. So, you know, there are people who come close to God through emotion, passion, right? Through passion. There are people who, you know, can be at some type of a shalashudis, can be at a tefillah, and they hear the kavana, they see the passion, and that moves them. That's, you know, through emotion. And there are people who come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu through intellectual capabilities. They open up a Gemara, they get into a Rambam or a Chaim, a Ksos, and just delving into the intricacies of Torah. We come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And those are two different styles in life. My father used to quote, and really both styles are correct, and both, you need both. You just can't serve God by only davening, by only sitting around, you know, a tish and singing zemiros. And also just sitting and learning doesn't necessarily do it either. Daven. I used to think that my father was a person, davened, he learned. But there were times that my father enjoyed singing a certain song, O Delakel. His passion is important too. And he used to quote the Medrash to Sifri in Devarim, Parshas Ekev, Pesikah Mem Ches, that the Sifri says that a person shouldn't say that all I'll do is learn Torah. I'll learn Halacha. I'll learn Shulchan Aruch. I'll learn Maseches Shabbos, Maseches Nida, Maseches Brachas. I'll know all the halachas. Shmuel says, "Ki lo alechem levado yichya adam." A person doesn't just need bread. Bread is symbolized by halacha, Gemara, learning sugyas that are complex and deep. But a person needs other things also. Ki al kol motzav Hashem, you need hagados, halachos. There's a supreme Devarim that the Dam Ein of Tish Techomer and Parshas Veschanon, that a person should learn Agadas, which is similar to wine, that draw a person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two areas that a person needs. You need the area of Halacha, Gemara, and the area of Agadata. Halacha is symbolized, Gemara is symbolized by intellectualism. This is the right approach, this is what I got to do. And Agadata is the warmth. Not that this is what I have to do. I feel it. I feel something special. I tell you, my father used to always quote the Ramban and Devarim, Perek Dal Pasuk Tes. You know, when we came to Har Sinai, what was the Sinai experience? Sinai experience was you heard God speaking, the first two Dibros. You saw God. You saw the fire. You didn't just hear God, you saw God. So the Torah tells us that we shouldn't forget anything from Har Sinai. And the Ramban emphasizes that in Perek Dal Pasuk Tes. And the Ramban says that we should not forget, and we have to transmit to future generations everything that we saw, everything that we heard. What do we hear? We heard God talking. We heard the Torah. What do we see? He didn't see God. You can't see God. You saw fire. What does fire symbolize? Fire symbolizes warmth. Fire symbolizes heat. It's passion. You came to Har Sinai even without hearing any mitzvah. You felt something. There was something very special. The Torah tells us, don't forget anything. Don't forget the learning. Don't forget the kol. Don't forget the voice, intellectualism. It was an unbelievable shiur. But also, don't forget what you saw. Don't forget the feeling. And on a certain level, when you see the begodim of the Kohen Gadol, that excites you. We never saw the Kohen Gadol. But in those days, when they saw the Kohen Gadol in his clothes, it's hard to explain, but something happened. And that's what Kabbalah Sifaras. What does beauty mean? Beauty means not to tell you who the Kohen Gadol was. Because obviously we have to go into the depth of the Holy Gadol, understand his personality, see his righteousness. When you saw the begotten of the Kohen Gadol, that beauty excited you. It ignited your passion. So for Kabbalah, for honor, and the Sifaras. Sifaras is to go ahead and to ignite your passion. And it's very important, you should know. There are people who walk around and they say, the only way is to serve God with intellectual, thinking things through. And obviously, now from where I come from, my stock, it's about thinking things through, coming to logical conclusions. But a person should never say that's what it's all about. Because Judaism devoid of passion, I don't want to say it's not Judaism, but it's not. Because Judaism involves not just the cold, but it involves the fire, the warmth also. There's a fascinating Tosis, Sechet Vavavasra. Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph, the Sechet Vavavasra, speaks about the Takana, forced education. You know, they noticed at that time that people who didn't have fathers weren't learning Torah. So they wanted to make a Takana that every Jewish child has to go learn Torah, to go to school. So first the Kana was that, where should they go to school? Everyone should go to Jerusalem, to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Then they saw it as a problem because those who didn't have parents, fathers, they couldn't get to Yerushalayim. So they felt, they made a Takana at the schools in every city. But why did they choose Yerushalayim at first? So Tosfos there points out, because when you got to Yerushalayim, the child would see a Kedusha Gdola, great holiness. Kohanim evolved in Avoda. He would want to go ahead and have more fear of heaven. He'd want to learn Torah. And that's why Meister Sheni, when a Jew ate Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim, would bring him to learn Torah, because he came to Yerushalayim and he saw the Kohanim doing the Avodah and Levim on the Duchan singing. What is that? There's nothing logical going on there. You walked into the Beis HaMikdash and all of a sudden something took over you. And you wanted to come close to God. And that was the point of the Big Day Kahuna. And why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did not wear the Big Day Kahuna Gdola? Because if the Big Day Kohen Gadol was supposed to bring a Jew closer to the Kahuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through passion, Moshe Rabbeinu, who obviously we know exhibited passion because that's important, but Moshe was a man who we refer to as the Ish HaLacha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who was able to go ahead and was able to, he focused on his intellectual, giving off halachas, teaching Torah. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen. So Moshe didn't need, the Big Day Kahuna wouldn't fit for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, you didn't get impressed by Moshe because all of a sudden you felt close. You saw Moshe and there was a logical decision. But Aaron HaKohen, he symbolized passion. The Kohen Gadol symbolized passion, and therefore the Kohen Gadol had to wear these special Big Day Kahuna. Who was Aaron? How did Aaron inspire people? How did Aaron go ahead and help people? How did he inject them with Ruchnius? It's obviously Rav Nosson. You know, when Aaron died, the Torah tells us Kol Beis Yisrael mispala for him. More than Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Aaron was able to connect with everybody. How did he connect? It doesn't say that he gave him a shear. Aaron would meet somebody in Perry Bay's Avos Rav Nosson, and by being nice to that person, the person would say, Aaron is nice to me. How can I be involved in riches and wickedness? What is that? Something intellectual. Something took over them. It's something emotional. It's passion. You know, it's Aaron didn't do anything to convince them just by being there. That was Aaron. You know, it's interesting. There's another Avest Rav Nosson, Perek Lamed Zion. The Avest Rav Nosson says that Aaron was greater than Moshe. And who was greater than Moshe and Aaron? And Aaron? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very difficult Avest Rav Nosson to understand. I can't even explain it on a simple level. But he says, how come? He says, Aaron ha yagadol mi Moshe. The gadol mi Aaron was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perek Lamed Zion, Avest Rav Nosson. So if that's the case, how come Hashem didn't speak to Aaron, he spoke to Moshe? Because when Aaron saw his sons doing something wrong, he wasn't able to protest, he wasn't able to say stop. Moshe was. Why? Because Aaron's derech was passion, warmth. And it was so hard for him to say stop. That was Aaron HaKohen. But that's how he was able to bring so many people closer to Klal Yisrael because of his passion is warmth. But to be the ultimate manhig, that was Moshe. Because to be a manhig, you have to know, you have to rise above your passion sometimes. A lot of the times. And that's why HaKohen Gadol is not allowed to show his avelis when he's not there. Why? Because as a leader, the Nitziv points out, he has to basically show his controls his passions. But Aaron was a person whose derech was through warmth, through passion. And that's why the Big Day Kahuna Gadola really fit on Aaron HaKohen. Because he was a man who led and symbolized coming close to Kodesh Baruch through passion. And that's the idea, beauty of the Big Day Kahuna, because the beauty would bring a person closer. Does that mean that because he had to be too cool, everyone knew that Aaron was great? Everyone knew Aaron was great because he was a tzaddik. But it was the Bidei Kuna Dola that somehow had a special effect on the people. There's a man of warmth. And we learn from this is, very importantly, that there are two drachim. And everyone really has to have both drachim. With some people, the intellectualism is emphasized. With some people, the passion is emphasized. And a person has to know when to choose intellectualism over passion. I'll give you an example. When is passion more important? You know, I remember that when I was getting married. So I got married in Toronto. My home was in Chicago. My wedding was on Tuesday, Lag BaOmer, and Shabbos my Ufrup in Chicago. And I was flying to Toronto with one of my brothers. My parents were on a different flight. We were on another flight. The way it worked out. And the way I was speaking to him, I said to him, it's kind of funny. I said, I'm very excited to get married. But if I think about it logically, it's like a crazy thing. It's crazy. Why? Because financially, I'm all set now. Now, Baruch Hashem, I have Baruch Hashem, I have some money, and I don't have many needs. I'm single, and many needs I have. My parents are taken care of. Now I'm getting married, and you know I have to worry about the budget of the house. I have many more needs, but I'm not even hesitating. Get married. I'm not even thinking about it. When it comes to marriage, passion rules. You don't think about whether it's a logic. You have to make sure that the girl's the right girl, the boy's the right boy. You have to have intellectual quest to make sure that you're marrying the right person. But once you do that, forget it. All logic goes out the window. Passion takes over. And sometimes a person has a passion to do an aveira. We say, then you have to have an intellectual approach. Is this right? Is this wrong? You know it's wrong. But we always have conflicts. You have to know when passion overrides intellectualism and when intellectual overrides passion. That is and that's what we learn from Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu. And I just wanted to mention that's a similar idea of Parsha Zachar. Of Aaron Lichtenstein, who is a big Rachamon, loves people, is concerned about people, whether Jews or Gentiles, who once said, he didn't understand the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to wipe out an entire nation? Being that they're wicked, but why? Then he says, you know, Reb Chaim was a much bigger Baal Chesed than he was. And Reb Chaim could be concerned, would not be concerned about this mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek, Rabban HaMalek. Why should I be concerned? So, it's a nice answer, but he didn't answer the question. How do we explain the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wipe out an entire nation? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to wipe out the entire nation because you should know that this nation's wicked. And if you don't wipe them out, they will come to hurt you, to destroy you. And intellectually we can understand it. But what happens? All of a sudden our passion starts to stir up. How can you do it? Children crying. And here the Torah says, at this point, the intellectual, the intellectual has to rule over the passion. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's the right thing. You might not feel so comfortable with it, but it doesn't make a difference. Shaul HaMelech, who was a tzaddik, how did he sin? How did he allow himself to not destroy, to kill Agag? And because he didn't kill Agag, you should know that's why Haman came to be. And Chazal tell us that because of Shaul's compassion, his rachmanis for a Russia, it exhibited cruelty to Jews centuries later. You know why? Because of his passion. The Yalkut Shimoni tells us in Parshas V'Shalach that Agag was crying to Shaul. And Agag said to Shaul, if you kill me, I will have no seed, no descendants. How can that be? And Agag's crying, the Russia that he was, somehow or another, influenced Shaul. In this situation, we're told by a Molech, the intellectual has to rule over, overrule the passion. That's the mitzvah of Zachar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, my name, you want to know why you have to destroy Amalek? As difficult as it might be, because my throne is not complete until Amalek's wiped out. That's it. That's what has to be done. That's the ultimate moral right. That's something which we would refer to as something that's an absolute moral idea. Doesn't feel good, doesn't make a difference. Intellectual says, Rachmanis Baruch, what do we have to do? And you know what Purim's about? I think Purim's about that also. You know, it's interesting, Mar Masechet Shabbos, that when the Jewish people were given the Matan Torah, given the Torah, the time of Har Sinai, Achelas Torah, they didn't have a choice. Didn't have a choice. What happened? They were basically forced. But they accepted it again in the days of Achashverosh. What does it mean they were forced? People say is they got to Har Sinai and it was so powerful. It was so powerful. The Gilui Shechina, they couldn't say no. What is it? Their hearts were overtaken. The passion, the warmth, the passion said you got to do it. They didn't make an intellectual decision. But what happened? That's what it means that they were forced. That's kafa harki like harki gigas. They were forced. It wasn't a decision in their mind. Their hearts directed them. What happened at Purim? They accepted it again. Then it was decision. It wasn't the time that Yilui Shechina decided this is what we have to do. This is what we need to do. This is good for Klal Yisrael. It was a time of basically where the intellectual. It was intellectual decision. They ignored their heart. And you know, I think at Purim, the Nes of Purim, why did the Jews go to the party? Gemara tells us they went to the party, and that was one of the sins which they could have deserved destruction for. Why did they go to the party? Because when they went to the party, so it made them feel like they were Persians. Gemara tells us that Yud Gimel, the Jews were angry at Mordechai because Mordechai caused them trouble. Mordechai made them feel like they were different. They weren't Persians. Going to the party, they felt good. They felt connected. They felt that they were respected. It was an emotional decision. Jews have to know sometimes you have to make a rational decision. And, you know, maybe that's why there's a mitzvah to drink wine on Purim. I'm not getting into discussion how much you should drink. I'm not getting into that. There's a shita yesh v'yesh. Whatever a person does, if he drinks, he has to be careful. He doesn't get carried away. Make sure that he behaves properly, he keeps all mitzvahs. But when a person drinks wine, it's telling us something very important. And even though Purim was a time when we made a mistake because we let our passions get the better of us, even though Purim was a time where we made choices of our mind, Chazal are telling us, don't ignore your passions also. When a person drinks, because a lot of times we inhibit our passions. Chazal tells us, it's okay, drink a little wine, Chazal tell us. Make sure that your passions, your warmth can express itself. So in other words, maybe the wine isn't about Purim. Purim is about something else, but still tell us, even though the message of Purim is to make decisions in your mind, don't ignore your passions also. Let them express yourself. You know, feel free to express yourself in Shira LeKadosh Baruch Hu. Let some of your, you know, some of your inhibitions down so your passion can come out. Just make sure it's done in the way which is mutra pi halacha, according to the Torah. But when the Gemara says a person is to drink until he realizes the difference. What was the difference in our Havihavan and Mordechai? Chazal tell us a person doesn't sin until a ruach shtus comes inside of him. A person drinks wine, that's when he starts to sin. Why? Because the inhibitions come down. Yes, one of the differences because Haman a rush at the very beginning let his passions get the better of him. He hated the Jews. Mordechai understood how to control your passions. So that's the idea. Drink wine, understand what happens when your passions come out, and you'll see the difference. Mordechai controlled his passions, Haman didn't. But also drink wine in order to understand that even though you have to control yourself, you have to make logical decisions, a person must make sure that he doesn't ignore his passions also. And how do you know your passions are correct, are good to be exhibited? It's mutar al pidin according to the Torah. And that was the difference in Haman and Mordechai. Mordechai understood his passions. He let it come out. It was mutter. Haman let his passions be uncontrolled. That's what it means to drink. You know, now, it doesn't mean that you should go crazy. It means to understand what passions do to you, but see that Mordechai used his passions for the Tov, the good, what the Torah wants, and Haman let it be uncontrolled. So, you know, maybe with this idea in mind, we can understand the idea of the big kahuna. Understand what Zachar means to, that our intellectual has to be controlled. But Purim comes along and tells us, when we drink a little bit of wine, that even though we have to have, our mind has to control our hearts, but don't ignore our passions. Because if we use our mind and hearts together in the proper way, we can really come to the highest level of serving our Kodesh Baruch. Okay, right.
Question?
Yeah. So why do we drink wine? Why do